Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan Jesse Go, we are live on tape from the Portland Bridgetown Comedy Festival and the Monsters of Podcasting. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, round two of the Monsters of Podcasting. Jesse Thorne and Jordan Morris. Jordan Jesse Go.
Eye of the Tiger.
Correct. First guess.
Mike hit on teeth. Mine.
Two out of two.
That also happened.
You're batting 1,000, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So great to be here in beautiful Portland, Oregon.
Isn't it neat?
I said it wrong because they don't like it when you say it wrong.
Oh, so you're trying to get their goats.
Oh, absolutely.
They're Portland goats.
Portland
how about
goats.
This? What do you think about this, assholes? Portland. Out in the fucking parking lot. You and me, Portland.
Let's go.
I said it wrong.
There was a guy who kind of wanted to fight me backstage. A guy who looked like a sort of a Portland version of Lemmy from Motorhead, which is to say Lemmy from Motorhead, but a little bit dirtier.
Also, that could also be a Portland version of a guy that walks around.
Yeah. Playing pool there, and he says
just quick observation. People from Portland are either about to enter a... Men from Portland, not to generalize. Men from Portland are all about to enter a Lemmy from Motorhead lookalike contest or a Russell Brand lookalike contest. Apparently, there's one going on every weekend that I've ever been here.
To be fair, some of them are preparing for an Arctic expedition in the spring. Like sure. A springtime Arctic exhibition. So this guy, he says to me...
Oh, North Face.
Yeah.
So
this guy says
that's
to me...
That's something I know.
This guy says to me, hey, nice suit, fella. And, well, for one thing, I'm not wearing a suit.
He didn't say fella, was it? You're not cleaning it up.
No,
I... He's actually said fella.
He said fella. And I said, thank you. And he kind of kept locking eyes with me, but I had to walk past him, so I walked past him. And then I had to walk back and forth because to get between the green room and the wings there, you have to go past this pool table where this guy's playing pool. I walk past again. He says, hey, nice suit, fella. I think he was threatening me, but I'm not sure with what.
Maybe it might not have been a threat and more of some sort of precursor to gayness that he wanted to have with you.
But no, he had the fire in his eyes, and it wasn't a romantic-type fire.
The gays are passionate. They're passionate people.
Okay.
They're like the Latins in that way.
I walk past him
again. Good night, everybody.
I walk past him again. He says, nice suit, fella. Where'd you get that tie? Like, he made a joke. That's not a joke. I'm confident that's not a joke, but he said it
with a joke inflection.
Like it was a joke, and I said, I think maybe eBay? And he said, oh, eBay, huh?
This guy had your number. He knew what you were.
I don't know. I'm worried he's going to just bust through that door and beat my ass.
Well, you know, even if he was standing back there, I'm sure this conversation charmed him.
Yeah.
So that he's like, ah, that guy's all right.
There's no doubt about that.
Off to whittle something.
I changed my life recently, Jordan.
Oh, did you?
I watched our long time ago co-host, Big Time Gene O'Neill. Has one favorite movie and one favorite movie only, one that he'll talk your ear off about. It's a little movie called Point Break. Has anybody ever seen Point Break? I had never seen Point Break, but as I have grown older and grown less comfortable with feeling things, I have taken to watching these action movies on Netflix on demand.
I also, as I've kind of hit mid-20s, have gotten surly about feelings. The other day, when I was in Target, a Coldplay song came on, and I just wanted to leave.
Yeah, fuck this.
I'm sick of feeling weepy.
I'm trying to get kitty litter.
Yeah, right?
And
I don't want to think about all the chances I've missed.
I watched Air Force One recently,
okay.
In which there's a scene in which Harrison Ford kicks a terrorist off of Air Force One through the chute. I don't remember how Harrison Ford's not falling out of the chute, but he kicks him out of the chute and he says, "Get off my plane."
That's like you're a little late to that party, Jesse.
I am?
People are totally already over "Get off my plane."
Okay, well, anyway, so I watched Point Break.
You might as well be saying, "Where's the beef?" at this point.
Okay. There's some stuff that's really amazing about Point Break. One is that this movie is like 6 hours long. It is like
Very long, four different
movies.
You're watching the director's cut, probably.
another amazing thing about the movie Point Break
is the part where Patrick Swayze throws a dog at Keanu Reeves. Oh, my God. Every time I feel like... you know, my life has taken a negative turn. I just think about that part, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't, you know.
There's a core, central issue with Point Break that's never addressed, which is the premise of Point Break, if you don't know, is Keanu Reeves is an FBI agent who has to go undercover to track down a gang of surfer criminals who wear president masks and rob banks to finance their surfing. Anyway, understood at the beginning of this film is this premise. The last person you'd expect to be a surfer is straight-laced FBI agent Keanu Reeves.
Who always delivers a line like he just did a toke and then his parents walked in and he's trying to hide it.
It's an amazing film. There's like 12.
Well, but here's the thing. He's also he's not a surfer. Like he's an ex college football star. I feel like that's a believable thing for Keanu Reeves to be.
Maybe. I mean, they do have that football scene to establish how good at football he is.
And he is kind of a dummy.
The guys in the football game, they're having this beach football game, and they're like beating him up.
Hold on.
So what's going on?
Speaking of Point Break,
is this a free speech forum for Jordan and Jesse?
It wasn't a free speech forum, technically.
It's Jordan, Jesse, go.
I'm sorry to interrupt, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to do this, but I was informed there's a free speech forum where I would be able to...
Are you Gary Busey from Point Break and other...
Yes, that's right.
Wow, Gary Busey, everybody. Gary Busey.
Wow.
Thank you. Gary Busey, private citizen, first class, reporting for duty.
Well, I mean, have a seat,
yeah,
Gary. It's a surprise to have you here. It's always great to have a real life Hollywood celebrity, a star of many films, and Point Break not least of them. Welcome.
Well, thank you for welcoming me. I understand there's some nice gentlemen people here. I don't mean to interrupt what looks like to be a Garrison Keillor Prairie Home Companion evening here. But I was informed that this was a free speech forum, and I monitor a number of podcasts from my bunker, and I was aware of a number of things that this was going to be a free speech forum, and so I came prepared to enlighten these people about the lies that we face from our government and from the society is trying to make us and break us down into nothing but little monkeys and piglets.
You say piglets now?
I said piglets. And this is in the news these days, my friends. And I appreciate your service and appreciate your service.
Thanks.
This is in the news with this swine flu, ladies and gentlemen. We face an epidemic with this swine flu, but I believe there is more to it because the government out there is lying to us. This microphone is booked. This microphone is planted. I don't believe this is a microphone.
I mean, your voice is being amplified, so like that part of it is going.
You are a loud talker.
I did not consent to have my voice amplified through an amplification system.
Well, we technically didn't consent to have you on the program.
And I appreciate that system of belief, but I also, ladies and gentlemen, I am also a big believer in pigs. People ignorant of government suspicion. And that is what we face with this swine flu. It is from the government, and I am here because I drove here over 4 hours from my bunker in state of Jefferson in southern Oregon, and I keep my summer, winter, and spring home there. And that is where my bunker is. And I came here to speak in this free sport.
Did you bring, is that documentation or something?
I have an article from the Klamath Fall Gazette that tells you people right here.
You're tearing it.
That it originated in Fort Detrick, Maryland. The swine flu is not coming from pigs. It is coming from a pig that is a different kind, that is a man who has no appreciation for the Constitution, my friends.
Hey, Gary, I'm sorry. I was just wondering. I mean, we're happy to let you, talk about stuff you want to talk about, but maybe just, oh gosh, I knocked that over.
Hold on, you need to screen that microphone.
No,
if a microphone drops, you must screen.
No, I just have... Okay.
You're screening it?
I'm screening it because you never know when there could be a bug. We are surrounded by
enemies. You just rubbed it on your boot. What does that do? I'm sorry.
These boots are amplified to make sure that we take out negative toxins in anything that it touches. That's why I wear them on my feet at all times.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, maybe just to make this a little more general interest, and you know, this is kind of just a general comedy, kind of entertainment show. Could we maybe just ask you a couple of just regular interview questions about your career?
Yeah.
I'm happy to, because I believe in a freedom of speech, and you know what? I'm a big believer in pussy. Purity under stressful sexual instances. And I do not mind being put under a spotlight and being grilled, because I will survive. I will survive this Guantanamo.
Right.
I have survived being interrogated by
that.
Let's
save that. Let's just save that for later.
Do you have any memories of working with Keanu Reeves?
Memories? The memories of working with Keanu Reeves begin at 6 a.m. and end 6 feet down the rabbit hole. That is a man who is a genius. And what I heard before I came on here was you people disgracing the reputation of a man who is not only an actor but a visionary and a genius. Johnny Mnemonic is a look into our future. It is a searing look. George Orwell was an Illuminati agent. His 1984 is not the truth of what will be happening. Johnny Mnemonic is the truth, and The Matrix is the truth. And you can read more about this on my website, ladies and gentlemen.
Is there anybody who could help us with Gary Busey here?
www.garybusey.org/Busey/Gary,
what's your dream project?
My dream
project. Yeah, if you could.
My dream project, my friend, is to do a film version, a film adaptation of the Magna Carta, because that is where our freedoms come from. And I know these people understand that because you're up here in Portland.
Is that a copy of the Magna Carta?
Yes, this is a physical copy of the Magna Carta, which I carry with me at all times, along with my passport.
Is that crayon on it?
What's that?
Is that crayon on it?
Did you mark it with crayon?
Well, I crossed out the parts that I don't agree with. There's a number of parts that refer to a king and refer to a feudal system. But there are parts in here that laid out for the first time in the written English language that we have rights.
Did you just draw a dick on there, too?
No, that it's not a dick, sir. If you're talking about a dick on the Magna Carta, then I would have to remind you that we are under maritime law ever since the War of 1812.
Sorry, it just looked like you drew a dick on it. Sorry.
We're not trying to be rude or anything. Yeah. We're really grateful to have you here.
Absolutely. Speak to me like I am a man and like I'm a citizen. Look at me like I'm a citizen. Look at me in my eyes. Both of you, look at me in my eyes at the same time. I want you to look at me like I am a citizen of this country.
Okay.
No, you looked away. This is not... Let me explain something to you. I believe in rape. Reaction against predatory enemies. Reaction against predatory enemies. And what you are doing right now is you are preying on the American people and their ignorance.
I'm sorry. Can we... this isn't going really the way we want.
I am not here as a participant, ladies and gentlemen. I am a spectator. I am an outside attaché.
Free speech zone?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that it's in the merch booth?
Were you expecting an Animaniacs Looney Tunes reaction where I would run out like some kind of fool and look for a free speech zone out there in the lobby? My freedom of speech zone is wherever my perimeter goes, where my CB radio band can be heard. Sir, is there someone out there representing the King of England
or the
Illuminati?
I think this is the general vibe.
Did George
here.
Bush send one of his agents down here? Because I lived through 8 years of a fascist dictatorship, sir. And let me tell you something. I believe in crabs. Creating reality against bullshit.
I'm sorry. You're swearing too much, and this is not a general interest thing, so we're just going to have to ask you to leave. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't mean to be profane. I'm a formal believer in all kinds of respectability. Namaste to you and your friends. Jesus Christ, get off the cross. And I would say to all of you, I will look you all in the eye at the same time and inform you, ladies and gentlemen, I know you know this. You know it in your heart of hearts that the events of 9/11 happened on September 12th. And I will continue telling this. I will say this in public, and that is the reason I am here.
Hey, Gary, there was a car in the parking lot that has a sticker that says, I'm Christian and I vote.
Well, that is the right to vote. Anyone who is a Christian has a right to vote. Right now, I have a car in the parking lot. I have a motorcycle that is running. I drove the motorcycle into the back of the backstage bar right there. Ladies and gentlemen, I better get my motorcycle, and I have a tree frog I need to feed.
Okay.
Yeah, well Gary Busey, everybody.
Thank you, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Gary Busey, thank you, Gary.
Salute. God bless you all to death, all of you people. God bless you to death.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
I wish you the very best with this. You understand that? You deserve all of this.
You're hurting me.
You deserve this?
You're hurting me.
And I will be there every step
that of the way. Hurts badly.
Okay, you have liquid on you.
I don't like your butt.
That is a cell that keeps the drugs away. I am sorry. I apologize.
Gary Busey,
everybody.
Hey, pals and friends, it's Jesse here. Guess what? It is Maximum Fun Drive time. That's right. May 1st through 15th is our second or third annual Maximum Fun Drive, depending on how you count the first Maximum Fun Drive. I'm going to say third Maximum Fun Drive. Anyway, as you know, MaximumFun.org is supported by your donations. That's right, donations from you, the listener, etc., etc., etc. We wouldn't be here if you didn't give us money, and far too many of you don't give us money, to be frank. So visit us at MaximumFun.org and make a donation. It goes from $2 a month to $200 a month. There's all kinds of really cool thank you gifts that you can get, including a sweet new Maximum Fun Sound of Young America t-shirt, lots of great books and CDs and DVDs and all kinds of hilarious and awesome stuff, a special thank you gift coming up next week, all kinds of really neat, awesome, great stuff. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/donate, MaximumFun.org/donate. And once you do that and you donate, you'll feel a lot better about listening to this show every week because you'll know that you're not freeloading. Okay, MaximumFun.org, donate. Do it. Wow, that was the last thing I expected to happen. Wow, Gary Busey, huh?
Well, hey, I mean, speaking of guests,
we do have a real guest.
We have another guest.
We have a guest booked on that we actually asked to come. You might know him from his feature film work, including Anchorman, or you might have seen him here with his brilliant improv comedy group, Beer Shark Mice. You might know him as half of the Naked Trucker and T-Bones, one of the funniest guys in Hollywood. Please welcome David Koechner. Dave? Yeah. Yeah,
and
David.
And a crate.
Koechner.
He's carrying
very
a crate.
Very nice crate. Very good crate.
Whatever's clever, man.
Just take a seat, Dave. Bring your crate. Why did you bring a crate on stage, Dave?
I need to place my dinner on the crate.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's
you have a beer.
David Koechner has a problem.
He has a beer.
Busey speaks the truth.
No. Oh, shit. Yeah. Koechner's in this shit now? Did you have did you fall off of a motorcycle a few years ago and lose a few of your marbles?
Or did I finally realize what is really happening in this country and on this planet, in this universe, if it is one?
Can you say it in two sentences and then we can
two
talk about something
and
else?
We'll
you
move
two
on.
Sentences.
Two sentences and we're going to talk about Hollywood.
I believe. That's two words.
Shit.
Yeah. Mind blown.
You know, in listening to the podcast, gentlemen, I realize there are so many things we have in common. I, like you, am in my mid-20s. And I, like you, had an interaction with the, as you described, any guy from Portland.
Yeah.
Backstage.
And mine was this. I was trying to get past a guy from Portland, and I said, excuse me. And he goes, excuse me. I think it was the same guy.
Same guy.
So it wasn't a guy from Portland. So guys, it's fine. It was a sociopath who happens to be here.
Yeah, he has an extraordinary grasp on the concept of plausible deniability.
Yes.
This guy is the Nixon of starting fights.
Yes. And but the thing is, if you don't choose to participate, you're like, that's odd, challenging behavior. I'm not that guy. I'm not aggressive. What? Did that just happen? Did you read the Malcolm Gladwell book, Tipping Point?
I'm familiar with its thesis.
Right. Well, they do this. He talks about this interesting exercise where they were in an, I think it was an Eastern school. I don't know if anyone's read the book, but they did this experiment where they were in a library or a study hall or a dorm or something like that, and I think an Ivy League college. And they would have someone walk down a hallway and then bump into a guy. And then they would record the reaction of the gentleman they got bumped into. And it seemed to have some odd relationship with where they were born, whether it was of Scottish origin or, you know, like perhaps they came from Kentucky or
so it was mostly Scots and Kentuckians.
Right. Oh, well, actually, if you read the history of see those programs of the history of the English language, a lot did settle in Kentucky and then some of the southern states. But the way they reacted to a person bumping into them, it was either like they got big about it or they went, oh, wow, that was wild. That was crazy. I'm not going to get upset about it, and your stress level doesn't go up, your heart rate doesn't go up. But I thought that was an interesting experiment, and that yes, I do think that that was a college professor.
Do you think that at this point Malcolm Gladwell could have any thesis in a book, and he could convince all of America, especially like Bill Clinton, that it was true?
I'll bet he's a good talker.
Man. You know, I read something similar in the novelization of the movie Time Cop. other than the occasional pre-fight, what do you think of Portland so far?
It's pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it a beautiful place?
It's gorgeous. I really do love it. I'm not just patronizing those assembled, assuming you might be from here.
Well, we've already been buttering them up with a lot of nice stuff about Portland.
Wait till we buttering up, and later we will cook and eat you, as is our wont.
We won't use any animal products.
And if we fry you and we decide to use animal products, it'll be duck fat, the best-tasting fat. Everyone knows that.
With a side of foie gras.
And then the drippings will power our motorcycle.
Let's go ahead and shove.
Did you wait? I have a serious question about
Portland.
All
right, Portland. There we go. No, honestly, this question is serious. Here we go.
Jordan and I went to eat some of your world famous donuts. Enjoy the donuts very much. I wouldn't say an ill word about the donuts. Next door to the famous donuts is what appears to be a porno theater. No,
this is not a porno bookstore or you might see in a regular place.
This is not a business, an adult themed business that took over what used to be a porno theater. I'm pretty sure we didn't fall through a hole in the fabric of space-time to 1976.
The porno theater apparently has two screens, and from the sign, this is what I derived. One screen says all male. The other screen is regular. Therefore, the two genres of porno.
Be very clear.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Be very clear about which theater you enter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a different experience.
The thing about it is that in my mind, I can understand the existence of a gay porno movie theater.
Everyone close your eyes.
Because what happens in a gay porno movie theater is guys who want to go somewhere shady to suck some dick go to the gay porno movie theater, right?
Some say cock, sure.
Right. So that I can understand. I don't necessarily endorse it. It's shady. It could be dangerous.
But you're not judging. Go ahead.
But I'm not judging. I'm just saying that. But it does. There's a central thesis there that I understand.
Right.
But in 2009, for a heterosexual man to go to a heterosexual porno movie theater, one has to presume
to sit down in front of one of the regular films.
That they advertise on the marquee as full-length films so that you know you're not just going to go in there and get 5 minutes of jack-off stag picture. You know what I'm saying? You're getting a full 90 minutes exposition, rising action, denouement, the whole nine yards.
Story.
Yes.
And then R. Kelly song while the credits roll.
Yeah. So
this is the porno version of Space Jam,
so,
by the way.
Who is the guy in 2009 who's like, gosh, I wish I knew where I could see some pornography that I could use to masturbate with? And he's like, shit, there's nothing here in my home that could help me with this. And there's nothing available commercially.
I'll Google porno theater.
You know what it is? Where can I go to be lonely together with someone else? And opposite of the all-male review, not hook up with anyone.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think you've got the essential kernel of it.
Zero
is they
possibility.
Want to celebrate their loneliness with others. There's no other venue right. for you to be lonely together with a group.
I'm not sure
typically, it's called a LAN party, Jesse.
Hello.
Boo.
Yay.
I'm booing myself.
It's the yin and yang.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there's not any female that goes to that show thinking, the regular,
right.
thinking, I'm horny. Where can I go?
Right.
To meet a man.
I wonder if some fellas who are going to see a pornographic movie film head there, they see the two categories, and they think they don't want to run into any ladies because that would be embarrassing. They're all male. Well, I'm a fella. And then they end up getting their dick sucked.
I think only after having gone to the regular theater for a long time, fuck it, I'm just going to go over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring a wig with me.
Right.
Ask the gentleman to wear it.
Yeah.
sit through half of the regular show, then with my ticket stub in hand, enter the all-male review and go, hey,
And that's why you need
put this on.
That's why you need a full-length movie.
Yeah, because that's a...
You can't do that with a five-minute clip.
Well, here's my kind of thought on this. This is like what spawns this is that, us fellas in our mid-20s, maybe grew up with an internet in the house that distributed pornography, or like me, we didn't get internet for a long
time. It's primary use, yes.
The only glimpse of pornography came from, a tape found in the back of Dad's closet.
A tape?
A tape.
Not a magazine.
Yeah. No.
That's already an advancement.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean,
you're referring to an audio cassette, correct?
Yes. an audio cassette of John Updike doing his voice, and then a lady's voice.
Dirty Updike.
Yeah, I know. When I was in Korea, I paid $20 for a dirty Updike. Boo.
We got to get the band back. Okay, go ahead.
there is a generation of guys who grew up experiencing pornography in this way when, going to see Deep Throat or, a nudist documentary was like, that's how you jacked off. And, like, I don't know. I mean, it's probably just around...
Right.
I mean, why do they serve liver and onions at a restaurant? It's for people who are used to eating that as an entree,
Mm-hmm.
People who
lived through the Depression.
Sure.
And it reminds them of the Depression and therefore allows them to get erect because there's something about their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but...
And then, of course, a dick gets sucked.
For instance,
He ordered the liver and onions. You know what that means. He knows there's no local good movies showing. I'm
going to
follow him home, put on a wig, and suck him off.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
After this show, you want to go out to dinner with me to the all-male restaurant?
What are they serving?
Liver and onions.
Oh. Me likey. I'm sorry, we put you off.
We got distracted.
That was fine. That was better than what I was
The first pornography.
We went down a rabbit hole. Go ahead.
By the time I was 12, there was internet pornographies available to me. And I know my dad also had a Playboy's most famous centerfolds in his bedside table.
In the bedside table.
Right next to the gun.
Easily, nice. Easily found by your mother.
Well, I think it was must have been open to my stepmother because it was just right there.
He's hit step. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm
so,
come
all
from
right,
a broken home.
That's part
home.
Of the agreement, I guess. Second marriage. Like, look, here's what's gonna go on. I've grown up. I've learned. Like, fuck it. This won't destroy my next one. This is gonna always be in the bedside table.
What if that was what broke my parents up? That my dad had a Playboy's most famous centerfold magazine. Like, that's the end of that. 20 years of rancor to follow.
Yeah, well, I never. That's healthy, actually, I think.
Oh, to have 20 that. Years of rancor?
Both. All those things. But no, to have the noonie mag. Now, at what point, I'm sorry, I don't know how much time we have. At what point, and I know you've got a jag you're still on, but at what point did you find this, the discovery?
I was 13 or so, something like that. Something like a 13
okay.
years
you're
old.
You're rifling through.
I'm rifling. Well, you know, it was like, you know what happened?
You needed to use the gun. Like, Dad, I need to use the gun.
There was a grudge?
Yeah, well, I just, I just was in there one day. It was like there was a little bookshelf at the bottom of the bedside table. It was just in there.
You're looking for an Updike.
Yeah.
I'm at the age where I need to masturbate. Where the fuck is that John Updike novel?
Over 200 people have now donated to supportmaximumfund.org in the 2009 Maximum Fund Drive, and every single one of those people gets a warm, fuzzy feeling deep in their heart and loin whenever they play a MaximumFund.org podcast. Here's a bonus warm, fuzzy feature. 50 people who were already donating to supportmaximumfund.org, 50 existing donors have joined together a dime and a quarter and 50 cents at a time to challenge you to supportmaximumfund.org. For every new donor that we add during this pledge drive, we will get more than $12 from those challenge donors, which I'll tell you goes a long way towards covering the cost of all the mailing and printer labeling and all that different stuff that we're going to have to do. So all I ask that you do is if you listen to these shows and you enjoy them, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
So you're in there, no one's home. Set the scene, please.
Well, I feel like I've said it. No one's home. It's in the
Apparently,
bedside table.
I don't feel like you have.
Is it spring? What are you wearing? Corduroy shorts? That adds to it.
I'm wearing a teenage boner. A rock hard teenage boner.
Very good.
Do you have a no fear shirt on?
No. He has a big dog.
Big dog.
Big dog.
Follow or get off the porch.
Big dogs masturbate to Updike. All right, so you've got...
Okay, hold on. I wanted to say our fans are a little predisposed to making fan art. We love it. Please make a Big Dogs Masturbate to Updike t-shirt. I'll give you $80. Let's continue.
Okay, yes. If you want, the moral of the story is...
No, I want the
I
thing.
Utilized it to masturbate to completion.
What did you eat for a snack afterwards? You could take a page out of the book of Updike, sir.
Jordan, what about you? Where did you ever have to use creative means to obtain pornography? Or have you, because you're a year younger than me, I feel like that year could be the year that makes the difference between just internet pornography being ubiquitous the moment that, you know, your boners become active.
Just for the record, that makes you 2 years younger than me. Go ahead.
Internet is. I'm not a tech guy, despite having a podcast and knowing a lot about the Sega Saturn. I'm actually not a very techie guy, and in the early days of the internet, I could never figure out how to make it porno.
You basically just type in porn.
The X key was
three times.
Not on the keyboard?
I don't know. It just seemed too complicated to me, and I was worried that it was a trick. Worried I was being fooled.
Yes, okay, yes.
Anyways.
Jordan had different ideas about what a naked lady looked like, and when it conflicted with those ideas,
sure,
he knew he was in a trap.
The summer that I graduated from college, I moved back in with my mom in Orange County, California.
You're 22 years old at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so we have the home computer that has AOL on it.
Encarta.
Yeah, and that my mom uses to, you know, forward poems to the gals at work, and that's basically what that computer is there for. And I'm don't trust my cover-up skills enough to even go about trying to pornography on this internet.
Let alone your timing skills of knowing when and when she will and not enter the room.
Yes, exactly.
Will and will not. I know that I messed that up.
So I need to find some way, you know, So I guess my only option I figure out is to rent a porno movie.
Figure out that this is your only option.
Yes, or the most easy option.
At age 22 in roughly 2004.
Sure. This was recently. And I was such a
You're struggling against the fact that all of the video stores are by this point going out of business.
Yeah, and there was one that was, you know, maybe about 30 minutes away.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it was a slog. It was just a sad, sad time in my life.
Imagine what you could have done with half an hour and internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sort of super highway, if you will. Let me know if I'm going too fast for you, buddy.
What's this I'm talking at? Micro what? So there's this video store. It's half an hour away, and it is tended by a lovely elderly Chinese man. And there's a curtain, and it's like, ah, oh, shit, am I really doing this?
I gotta tell you, lovely through me, but go ahead.
Yeah. handed a curtain, and I'm like, okay, there's like two guys in there with T-shirts tucked into elastic waistbands. And it's
trying not to make eye contact.
Yes, exactly. One actually...
Asking each other what the internet is.
Yeah. There's actually one striving to make eye contact with me, actually. I had to duck now.
Did this video store say all male on the outside?
No, this was a standard... Well, here's kind of part of the thing is that there was a, you know, standard video store in the front, and then, you know, in the back, behind the curtains, this is an antiquated thing these days, I realize. I get the thing. I'm like, gosh, I don't want to seem like a thing. So I'm like, I should rent a regular movie too. Just, you know, so I look like I have a broad swath of interests.
Like, well, I've got this and Red Dawn and this nudie thing.
And then, well, why not? Exactly.
Also, when you were having these thoughts, you were preparing for an audition on a remake of Happy Days set in contemporary times.
Yes. So I select the movie. I'm like, gosh, it's going to be something I actually want to see. I shouldn't just get something and return it and waste money. I should actually rent something. So I rented a porno movie and Errol Morris's Fog of War.
Bravo, sir.
In hopes that Chinese guy would think that I was brainy.
Which one made you more hard?
Here's the thing. I did kind of a Pink Floyd thing. Is I tried to sync him up.
And you know,
I got
what's
totally
amazing.
High.
What's amazing, too, is Errol Morris has that Interotron, the machine that lets the subject of the interview look directly into the camera. And that eye contact is like diamond style.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I agree. Here's the thing, and you, now when I grew up, you had to earn it. You had to work for it.
You had to find an 8mm stag reel in the woods.
None of that. In the woods. Would be in the woods. But you had to have the guy's dad who had a workshop, who had a stack of Playboys. Then you would take some of those from the bottom, not from the top, sneak off to said woods, camp out, and then share it, and all go, wow, oh, what, you like that? No, yeah. Oh.
And at the time, this was called an all-male camp out.
Right. And here's what's horrifying, because I have two sons, and I have...
And they asked for a tent for Christmas. Right?
And you gave them one.
Boing.
But it is...
I'm booing you now.
You're this close to getting Busey back.
Busey back.
But
here.
It is horrifying because I have all the parental blocking notions. Oh, that's what they're called, notions. I'm as tech savvy as you are.
Sure, yeah.
On every computer in the house.
It's called bric-a-brac, parental blocking, bric-a-brac.
Bric-a-brac, bring it back.
Just call up the Geek Squad. Give me some notions on this.
Now, listen, I need a notion on this thing. Triple X notion, and I don't want it. But it is horrifying that as a few errant strikes of X in the appropriate toolbar can bring up any assortment of horrifying hard-on for my son to enjoy.
I don't have children myself, but I'm thinking about having children, so I've been looking into the different stuff that you can get on the internet, and you're absolutely correct.
And you're worried that your dog might actually get in.
Right.
You know, tappy-tap paws on the keyboard.
Look,
and accidentally get upset.
Ever vigilant,
sure.
I am.
The thing is, but it is horrifying. Here's the other thing is that, look, it's inevitable that any boy is going to find porn. Ladies, I don't know how many young mothers we have here. Any boy is going to find porn.
Are there any young mothers in the audience tonight?
And here's the thing, and don't be fooled. That young boy will remain a young boy for the rest of his life, and therefore he will seek it out for the remainder of his life. Don't be surprised by it. It's going to happen. His father, as he just said, had a bedside table stash of it. I'm sure he only wishes he had more and a larger nightstand. And his wife probably wants to handle it. Anyway, the thing that is harder is, like, look, my son's going to find porn, fine. I don't want him to find it too often, but here's the thing I'm actually worried about is that...
Wait, I want to let the record show that Mr. Koechner has turned to face the audience to deliver this important insight.
This is like some Hamlet shit right here.
Maybe I've gotten bored. Listen... By the audience over here, because to me, everyone is one. Because it's a general concern. Maybe I'm seeking help from any psychologist or psychiatrist in the audience.
Or young mothers.
Or young mothers. Is that it's going to give him a skewed eye. Because, here's the thing. When I was growing up and we would find a pornography, it would only be a singular image of a woman's form, right? Which on some... fucked up paradigm, I can say that, oh no, I'm finding a way to appreciate and then hopefully adore a woman's form.
Sure, it's like a fresca.
It is. But no,
a romantic
there is the
notion,
idea.
If
there
you
is
will.
The ideation, right, that I adore a woman's body, and I do covet it because I'm a man, and all men do. Ladies, that's just it. You actually do rule the world. You do.
A message to young mothers from David Koechner.
No, to every woman in the world, and I do actually mean this. Women do rule the world, but it's the thing that men create to take away that ruling power is the subjugation through pornography or whatever. And so here's my very narrow premise, and I know it's fucked up from the beginning. And I know it's full of shit, but look, if it's a singular woman who had disrobed, and I adore it, and I covet it, and I want it, that's a male thing. But there is the thing is, it is beautiful to me, right? But on the internet now, it's all hardcore sex. So it removes that thing, and it becomes an object. And so that's the thing that I fear most, is that my son is going to see this thing that is only usury of a woman, and it's only a thing to be had and to be discarded, really. And that's really horrifying to me. And what's even more horrifying is the number of women, and even younger women, that engage in this.
You know what I'm worried
business.
About?
Yeah, what?
In all sincerity, MySpace bullying.
MySpace.
I've heard a lot about it. Very concerned.
MySpace what?
MySpace bullying. bullies on MySpace driving people to suicide. Young people, young mothers even.
I detect only the slightest hint of sarcasm.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm serious about that.
This is...
Be watchful. I've seen this, the eyes of this city. Was it the face of this city? Yeah. Do you know I bought Watchmen for my son because I didn't know it was such a graphic novel? He's 10. I didn't know. And you know what? Is the thing?
It's a comic book,
mothers,
right?
I'm still talking to young mothers.
Sure.
It's always a challenge to get a young boy to read. And I thought, fuck it, comic books, man. He digs comic books. I'm going to buy a graphic novel, which has been voted one of the greatest graphic novels in the history of graphic novels. So I sit down and start reading it to him.
Oh, were you doing all the voices?
I thought I was going to. I mean, it's so fucked up. Within two pages, I was like, I'm sorry, son. I'm not going to read this to you. I've made a mistake. Wow. I mean, there is prostitution and someone thrown to their death in the first page and a half. It's goddamn.
But he was hooked.
Okay.
All right.
Here's the game, gang. We're going to need two players from the audience, and I'm going to let Dave and Jordan are going to be competing against each other, and I'm going to let you guys choose your own partners here from the folks that you can see in the audience.
Yeah, I want to get some. I want to get a real super duper kind of Portland local. Is anybody super interested in playing a game with us? Raise a hand.
Is the fighting guy still here?
Yeah, and Dave, while I'm doing this, just to keep these things interesting, had any good food while you're here?
Yeah, actually, all of it, just down the street. What street is it, the main drag here?
Dave's, Jordan's headed out into the audience.
We were at, gosh darn it, what is it, Firestone?
You got somebody back there, Jordan?
Fireside.
Burnside?
Brewery? Bridgeport, thank you. Bridgeport, excellent. There's a pizza joint down the street. Excellent.
Okay, we got somebody.
This place right here, McTiernan's. Hair's not long enough. There's no note right beside.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
There
have
you
a seat. Have a seat.
There's no beard and not a shaggy mane.
Dave, have you chosen somebody?
Do I get to choose?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll get to know my partner.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. What's your name?
You, sir, had your hand up initially. Yes, sir. You, sir.
Come on up.
Give him a hand.
Give him a hand.
I don't know what this is, but we're going to fucking win.
Now, you guys are, Dave, you might want to pull your microphone out.
It's
and,
Rob.
And share it. Yeah, awesome.
Hello, I'm Rob.
Evan, how old a fella are you?
13.
13? Oh. Evan's, your hand is covered in hand stamps. You've had a pretty wild weekend then. Let it be known that Evan made some sort of fuck you gesture. I feel bad saying fuck you in front of you, but I guess you've sat through this whole thing
every day.
Oh my gosh.
What's going on? What
do you say? He says I hear it every day.
Look,
because of the internet.
Yes.
We're lucky to have an expert here. If there were any young mothers out there in the audience, Dave,
I would say, why is your son here? Yeah, but I am reminded that if I looked at the program earlier, this is an all-ages show.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob, are you a Portlander as well?
Yes, I have lived here my whole life.
Okay, great. Well, these are the two teams for this game. This game is called Dog Breed, Dungeons & Dragons Monster, or Some Shit We Made Up. Dog Breed, Dungeons & Dragons Monster, or Some Shit We Made Up. Now,
this is better than some NPR show. What's that called?
Yeah. Wait, don't tell me.
Yes.
Yes.
Thrown in with Garrison Keillor. If the banjo player would come in now, I would fucking love it. Sorry.
If only we had Puzzle Master man. Will Shorts here. Oh,
I wouldn't pitch such a tent. So here's how the game is going to be played. I'm going to give each team a set of three names. One of them will be a real dog breed. One of them will be a real Dungeons & Dragons monster from the 2002 rulebook. And one of them will be a nonsense word or phrase that I made up. And your job will be to pick which is which. Tell us, and I will tell you if you are correct. Of course, the team with the most points at the end will get to eat some of this weird Russian candy that a listener gave me this morning. The team that loses
will also have to do that,
some of that weird Russian candy. Thank you to Casey for bringing the weird Russian candy. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Dave and Rob, right? Rob, Dave and Rob. Okay, here are your three phrases. Alpine docks break. That's Alpine docks break. But, B-H-U-T, but.
Nice.
And Vart stinker. Vart stinker. So your three choices are Alpine docks break, Butt, and Vartstinker. Which is a dog breed, which is a monster, and which is some shit I made up?
You said the 2002 manual?
That's 2002, correct.
Oh, God.
We're using both the monster manual and the fiend's folio.
Biggest applause we've got yet. Boo. I'm talking to you guys.
Do we need to name each one correctly?
You need to name each one correctly to get a point.
Okay, sir, could you start with the last made-up name? Please?
Vart Stinker was the last one. The choices are Alpine Docks Break, Butt, and Vart Stinker. They're consulting.
Yeah. We do agree, Rob?
I agree, yes.
We believe the very first
Alpine Docks Break
is a made-up name.
Okay, but
we don't get the answer until the end.
No, you don't find out until the end.
To name all three.
To name all three.
But we believe is Dungeons and Dragons.
Vart Stinker.
Dog breed.
Incorrect, unfortunately.
Oh, yes.
On all three?
Alpine Docks Break is a real dog breed. A Butt is a monster from Dungeons and Dragons, and Vart Stinker is some shit I made up.
It seemed too obvious. We thought you were.
This goes to Jordan and. Was it Evan?
Evan, yeah.
Jordan and Evan. Okay, here are your three words or phrases: Minor Dumbledore, Brussels Griffin, and Shadow Mastiff. That's Minor Dumbledore, Brussels Griffin, and Shadow Mastiff. And I'll give you guys a moment to consult with each other.
I only wish there was a buzzer we could buzz in, but clearly this is you've weighted the categories towards your friend.
Yep. that one's easy. This one's easy. Sorry, Evan, are you a Dungeons & Dragons player? Speaking to the mic.
My friends are. I picked up one of the.
I'll take that as a yes.
One time.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to start with Minor Dumbledore.
And I think.
Mastiff Dog. Dumbledore made up. What's the other one?
Brussels Griffin.
We can't do a call in. This is not. This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
As much as I want
from,
to be...
We're playing for Kathy from Tulsa, who will get Jesse Thorne's voice on her home answering machine.
Okay, Minor Dumbledore.
Okay, Minor Dumbledore, monster.
Okay, Brussels Griffin.
Made up.
Shadow Mastiff.
Dog. How do you feel about that, Evan?
Sure, yeah.
Incorrect. A Minor Dumbledore is some shit I made up. Griffin is a real kind of dog, and Shadow Mastiff is a monster from the Monster's Manual.
Listen, dude, hold on. You're giving me that I knew it shit. If you actually know it, fucking be a good team member. I can grow a mustache, so you know.
Mine's coming in, buddy.
We're gonna go now to Dave and Rob. Here are your three: Yeth Hound, Russian Pooter, and Komondor. That's Yeth Hound, Russian Pooter, and Komondor. I'll give you just a moment to discuss it among yourselves.
People are leaving.
They've got more comedy.
Probably
to say.
Some.
One more time, sir, please.
Okay. Russian Yeth pooters. Hound, Russian pooter, and Komondor.
That's the first time I've noticed active leaving.
The pooter word is fake.
Okay, let's. We're going to start with Yeth Hound.
It is a real breed.
Okay, Russian pooter.
Fake.
Komondor.
Clearly from the manual.
Incorrect, unfortunately. A Yeth Hound is a real monster. A Russian pooter is some shit that I just made up. So I'm going to give you 1 point for that. And Komondor is a kind of dog. Okay.
I hope to never see it.
You guys have to get one of these correct for a tie, or you have to get all of them correct to win the Russian candy. Floral Spectre, Jackalware, and Volhund. That's Floral Spectre, Jackalware, and Volhund. That's a W pronounced as a V, folks.
Oh, come on!
Yeah. I think the floral... You get the language of origin?
Leading the witness.
Okay.
It looks like there's a prayer circle going on the far side of the stage with Dave and Rob. An all-male prayer circle.
Wait for the review.
Okay, first one, let's say that. We'll decide one by one.
Okay. Floral Spectre.
What do you think? I'm going to give you the call on this one. Take the shot.
Evan, this is all about you.
Unless you know what the shot is.
The worst thing
Coffee
that can
happen Coffee is for closers, is Evan. Coffee is for closers only.
Monster.
Nice.
Jackalware.
That's made up.
That's some shit you made up.
Yeah. Don't cuss.
Volhund.
It's dog, right?
Dog.
Dog.
A floral specter is some shit I made up.
What?
A jackalware is a real monster, but a volhund is a real kind of dog.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Something happened. Outcome, perhaps.
It's a tie. Here's the tiebreaker. Here's the tiebreaker. This is for either of you, lightning round. Three questions. Dire rhinoceros.
Made up.
Incorrect. Otter hound.
Dog.
Real.
Correct. Bronson's Pinchot.
Monster. Made up. Monster. Made
Cousin
up.
Larry.
Water. Perfect Stranger.
And we all win!
Point.
Our thanks to Dave Koechner.
That's the show!
Our thanks to James Adomian is Gary Busey.
Thanks to these guys.
Thanks to Casey for the candy. We have been the Monsters of Podcasting.
You've probably figured this out, but our ability to do this show, to tour, to do the Sound of Young America, to support MaximumFun.org is all based on whether or not you step up to the plate and give us a bit of money. We're not talking about a huge amount of money, just a couple bucks a month. Visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate. And, of course, when you do, you'll get all kinds of cool stuff back. Most importantly, though, you'll get that warm, fuzzy feeling every time you listen, knowing that you're listening to something that you support. See you next week on Jordan, Jesse, Go.